Casting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. For the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Katsi, Coquitlam, and Stolo First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and I really didn't want to make a sit-down and talk show this week. I had known weeks ahead that it was going to be a very busy one at work, and I wouldn't have much time to sit down and really think of stuff and talk, or to even make a show of some coherence. But it's not going to be an office hours program this week, because I am very, very angry, and I, along with many other people in the world, am very likely, you as well, my dear listener, feeling the same, or at least a very similar form of rage and grief and a whole other cocktail of difficult, hard emotions as we enter more than 145 days of genocide in Gaza. I, like many other people, am very often thinking about Palestine these days, and one of the reasons why today is not an office hours program is because of this discourse. I'm not really sure I want to use that word right now, actually, but is about the discussions in mainstream media about the self-immolation of Aaron Bushnell. And this question of his mental wellness. And so I'm going to be discussing a little bit about that today, from the perspective of somebody who is not mentally well, self-identified not well person. And so I think you'll have to forgive me if this episode today becomes one of simply only emotions and music, and not a whole lot of logic or quote unquote rationale, because I do not think that it is rational for us to be expected to move through life as though watching real life genocide unfold on our phones should be normal. For me, it's hard to, for real, encourage you to stick around this hour. So what I will say is this. This is going to be a difficult episode to sit through. And I am going to be unapologetically upset during this hour, and I am going to I'm just going to be here, and I'm going to be sitting in my feelings. Because, I don't know, like, mainstream media wants to pretend that all of this crap that's happening is super logical, and that it's for the sake of sovereign states or whatever, and that colonialism is justified and all that crap, and I don't think it is. And I'm gonna share some angry feelings about it. I'm going to be quote-unquote real, I guess. If you want to join me, you're welcome to. And if you are not into it because you grieved enough today and it's going to be overwhelming, I hear you. And so I welcome you to tune in next week. To counteract the heaviness of today's show, though, I have consciously put together a playlist of new music. It's just new. It's plenty of CanCon, as we usually do on the program. And then there are some people who are on this playlist who are not CanCon, who I love anyways. I hope you enjoy. We're going to get into it with the first track. This is Wyatt C. Lewis with Carefree.
Warmer nights around us, and I'm calling out. How's it hanging, so what you dance about? Lift them up with spirit, I wish I knew the songs. Let them guide so they hear it, perhaps I'm telling it wrong. So wrong, but when it hits, struck by lightning, and you're carefree with pounding drums to take it home. Night falls hard on these dusty roads, carefree. On a full moon, what do they have to say now? Now, on the front page news, so you tell me, is it a crime to be? Drums to take you home. Now In the morning I'll be opening my eyes. I see so clear to me. Golden nights upon us, still reaching out. For a hand, when all I want to feel is carefree. Again, how did it come to this? Don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking for eternal bliss. I'm like a rolling stone, I can't stay in one place. When you start to get bitter and you wanna get better, you gotta change the taste. There's a burning flame. I'm a savage runaway since 1993. Got nothing in my name, but that's about to change. Cause I'm
going to the wild, wild west, where the only rest is for the wicked. But even if you do your best and you pass that test, doesn't mean you'll make it. Going to the wild, wild west, cause it's the best place for business. Got a can-do attitude and nothing to lose.
So why the hell wouldn't I risk it? I'm on the road again, and I still didn't get too far. Got my study chaps on, my cowboy boots, and I'm playing my spaghetti guitar. I dressed up and I put it on, hoping I'd fit the scene. Took 30 damn years to figure out, I just gotta be me.
Going to the wild, wild west, where the only rest is for the wicked. Business, got a can-do attitude, and nothing to lose.
So why the hell wouldn't I risk it?
You just heard Bashar Murad with Wild West here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. The fun fact about this song is that Bashar Murad, I believe, submitted and performed it for an Icelandic song competition in which Iceland will pick what song will represent it in this year's Eurovision contest. And Bashar got second place. He was really, really close. He made it to the finals. But ultimately, it wasn't chosen. I did not know about this. I wish that I were a Eurovision gay. I am not a Eurovision gay. I am not that cultured. But I thought this fact was so wild that it needed to be shared. And so we're getting into the meat of the discussion now. Here are some of my feelings about this idea about mental health, I guess, during times of literal world is eyewitnessing genocide happening right before our very eyes. From me, a mentally ill person. On February 25th, a U.S. Air Force serviceman named Aaron Bushnell, who's 25 years old, self-immolated in front of the Israel embassy in Washington, D.C. He did so in an act of protest. He cited that it was an extreme act of protest, but compared to what the people in Palestine experience, it is not extreme at all. And he live streamed his self-immolation. As this was happening, he shouted many times, "Free Palestine," because he refused to be complicit in the genocide of Gazans. And a few hours after he performed this act, he succumbed to his injuries. The mainstream media discussion around Aaron Bushnell's self-immolation has been nothing short of appalling and disgusting. Because what Bushnell did was show Americans and the world that he, as a person who is at the center of complicity in this genocide, refused to sit back and just watch it happen. The importance of Bushnell's act was not just that it was a shocking and disturbing form of protest, but that he, at the center of complicity, refused to be. And mainstream media cannot handle that. It refuses to acknowledge Bushnell's act as protest, and rather it continues to frame it as mental illness, despite the fact that people who knew Bushnell knew that he had anti-imperialist views and had strong beliefs that he was not mentally ill. I think a Twitter user named Ray Fisher Kwan put it really, really well. So they wrote, quote, Psychiatry pathologizes action as sane or insane depending on how it relates to the interests of power. In the American imagination, it's illness to choose to die to protest the violence of war, and perfectly sane to choose to die in service of the violence of war. What a strong way to put it. And very apt. And people can't stand that this is the reality. So they gotta make all these speculations about the state of Bushnell's mental wellness or unwellness. So I'm gonna put my two cents in as a mentally ill person, as a self-identified mentally ill person, to share a little bit about me. I'm not going to share too much because it is quite personal, but it is not anything that you as a listener may have not known already, because I've mentioned it a lot. I've lived with mental illness for most of my life. To illustrate a little bit more, some of my earliest childhood memories are of me having panic attacks and going days in a row living in some kind of undescribable fear of something to happen. So I've always been, pretty much always been, very neurotic and very anxious. And when I see people use mental illness as a way to frame Bushnell's self-immolation, and I hear the apparent concern coming out of their words, it pisses me off. Because in very few other instances is mental wellness and illness of a concern to most of these publications and most of the people leading these conversations. So that's one thing. Because I see it happening all the time. The way that North American, I guess, US Canadian society wants to have discussions about mental illness is that they frame it as though mental health issues are simply like catching a cold. You do a little bit of self-care, you take a day or two off of work, go for a walk, and you're all done. You're healed. It's good. The destigmatization of mental health in these societies are not about centering anti-ableism and anti-sanism. They are not about centering abolition. They're not about anti-colonialism and anti-capitalism, and reflecting on the fact that the root of a lot of mental health problems is material. It is about experiences and traumatic experiences of things like poverty, of colonialism, of racism, of gendered violence and sexism, of homophobia and transphobia, of being just a literal person living in capitalism. It is very rarely any of those things. It is almost always centering a s- cishet, able-bodied, middle class to upper class perspective of wellness. And there is very little grace given to people who suffer from severe mental illness and to people who suffer from chronic mental illness. So again, that's one. But then is two, at two, at number two, the thing that upset me about these media publications and discussions about Erin Bushnell was, it kind of goes back to Ray Fisher Kwan's tweet. More than 145 days of genocide, of just some of the most appalling stuff that is being recorded and shown to us by the people who experience it firsthand. And these publications continue to refuse to humanize and dignify the people who are being slaughtered. And so, to these publications, there is no precious Palestinian life. To these publications, a precious life is somebody who could have continued to be complicit in the slaughter of Palestinian life. So, corporate media wants to have this discussion speculating on Erin Bushnell's mental wellness and state because he had the nerve and gall to perform such a disturbing act of what they think is suicide, but could be protest, could be laced with political messaging there. So I will also contribute to this discussion myself, being mentally ill and being involved in independent media. But before that, I'm going to cool down, and here is more music. This is Years Roll By Van Sire, Munya, and Jordan.